I have to tell you about when I heard the voice of God. I have to admit, that sounds like a strange thing to say given my background. I'm not one who usually says or from a background where we talk about hearing the voice of God. In fact, though, I can say that there have been a number of times that I have heard God, and none of those times has the voice of God been what I would have expected, and nor was it ever really the same voice. With that, let me explain that I have never heard God audibly like Moses or Abraham, Elijah or Solomon might have, either God coming and speaking them directly or in a dream or in a vision. And I mean that by that I have never heard God in an audible fashion. No, when I heard the voice of God the first time, it was from a sweet little gray-haired lady who could barely see over the dashboard between her steering wheel if she sat on the phone book from Chicago. A Josephine would make it a regular habit while I was attending high school that she would come to me occasionally and say, "You're going to make a great preacher someday." And I, in my head, shook my head and said, "No." Then there was a gentleman who I had never met before and probably will never see again this side of glory, who, when I was with a singing group singing at their church, told me in a fellowship time after our concert that I would make a great preacher. And then there was the third time, and that was when a friend asked me, while I was in my first year of college, asked me one day what I would do different if I could do my first year over again. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure if you asked him, he would say he wasn't speaking for God, but I am quite positive. I'm quite positive that God was asking me that question. Now, I'm not sure about the other two. They may have had some idea that they were speaking God's truth to me, but I'm sure that the third one wasn't. In some ways, my experience fits very neatly with the form of the passage of that scripture that we're going to look at this morning, and that's the 13th and 14th chapters in the book of Acts. Now, there are other ways that I'm not sure it does, but in many ways it fits the pattern. And so if you have your Bible, would you turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 13, verse 1? Or if you happen to have it on an electronic device, it'd be great to open that and turn there. But if you don't have one, the words will be available on the screen. This is what Luke writes, beginning with 13:1. He says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And now skipping down to chapter 14, verse 21, Luke writes, he says, "After they had preached the gospel in that city," now that city is Derbe, it is the end of the road from where they're going to preach after having left Antioch. It says, "After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them in the faith, and saying, 'Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God.' And when they had appointed elders for them in every city, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended by the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they arrived and gathered all the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door for faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. In some ways, my experience fits within the form of this passage, and in other ways, well, maybe not so much. Yet I think that I have learned about hearing from God in unique ways from this passage of Scripture over the years. One of those things that I've learned is that, like fruit, when fruit is ripe, it needs to be picked and used. There are times in our lives when we have reached a point of maturity where we need to be picked and sent. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture. First is that Paul and Barnabas are picked and sent. The church, at least the church leaders, are together, and they're spending time together in fasting and in prayer. And Luke mentions five of them, and we see that they are leaders of the church. Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Menean and Saul. These are leaders in the church in Antioch. They're helping the church to grow, but yet they're spending time in fasting and in prayer. And I think for us, we pardon me. If we want to hear from God, we need to take some cues from these five leaders in the church in Antioch. One, they were spending time in prayer. They were praying to God. And when we talk about praying, this isn't just I'm going to God and lifting up the needs that I have. No, this is time spent in prayer, because prayer is meant to be a conversation. Prayer is meant to be done in relationship with God the Father, who loves us and who we love and whom we serve. And these men were spending time praying. But Luke says they were also fasting. They were slowing down. They were detaching from the regular rhythms of their days, and they were slowing down. And I think that we really need to learn to slow down. We need to learn to pray and to slow down, to detach from the things that are overwhelming us in our days, and simply being in the presence of the Lord. And we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word, because I believe that most of the time when God speaks to us today, it isn't some great revelation of things out there, but it's rather what He says to us through the Spirit when we're spending time in prayer, that He uses us, or that He uses the Word, His Word, to call us. Because I believe most of the time what we're being called to isn't something great and unique simply, but is rather being called to do the things that He has called us all to do. And finally, they also were listening. You know, many times we forget that prayer is supposed to be a communication. It's supposed to happen in a relationship. And how many of us like to be around somebody who dominates all of the conversation and talks all the time, incessantly? Well, I don't think God does either. And so I think we need to learn to stop and listen. And the early disciples, these five leaders at Antioch, they were listening. They were listening to what God had to say. And when they heard, they responded. They were praying and fasting, and then they heard and they responded. You see, this wasn't Barnabas and Saul deciding that they were going to go and then asking God to go with them. Rather, it says that God chose Barnabas and Saul, and he acknowledged that to the leaders of this church, these five leaders, saying that I have a purpose and I have a plan for Barnabas and Saul, so set them aside for me. And when they heard from God, I like what Luke says. He says that then they fasted and they prayed some more. They fasted and they prayed and they heard the word of God. And then they fasted and they prayed some more as they were encouraging and equipping Barnabas and Saul for the ministry. And then it says that they affirmed Barnabas and Saul and sent them on their way. They listened, they heard, they knew, they understood, and they were saying, we're going to stand behind Barnabas and Saul, and we're going to send them out as missionaries for the kingdom of God from the church at Antioch. We're going to stand behind them, we're going to encourage them, we're going to support them in this ministry. And then Luke tells the story. He gives us the account of what happened as they left Antioch, and he begins to list the places they were going and the things that were happening. And then we come down to where we picked up in chapter 14. And what we see is that Barnabas and Saul have been planting churches. They have planted a number of churches, and now they're going to strengthen them. So they go back to where they have come from. They planted these churches as they went. They would go to the Jews in these cities and they would tell them that Jesus was the Messiah and tell them about what the Messiah had done to free them from sin and the bondage of sin, and they would make disciples. They were simply doing what Matthew chapter 28 says that they were supposed to do. Go and make disciples. And they were going from town to town and they were making disciples. And then they would leave that town and they would go to the next town and they would make some more disciples. And they would go to another town and make some more disciples. And finally they get to Derbe and they've made some disciples in Derbe. And they say, oh, I don't think we can go any farther. We need to go back. And so they began to retrace their steps. They began to go to the cities they'd gone before. And they began to fulfill another portion of that great commission. And they began to teach them even more. Jesus said, make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so Barnabas and Saul, they were going back and they were increasing the teachings that they were giving in these churches along the path. And they were strengthening their faith, and they were simply fulfilling the Great Commission. But then Luke says that they also not just strengthened the churches by teaching them more and encouraging their faith. He says, but they also appointed elders. You see, Barnabas and Saul knew that these churches wouldn't last if they didn't have somebody in leadership. And later Paul would write and he'd say, well, don't appoint somebody an elder too quick. And we might say, well, where did they find elders then? This is the new church. These are new church plants that Paul and Barnabas are setting out here. And I would say, well, they had some pretty good background members. Because the first place that Paul and Barnabas went was to their Jewish brothers, to their Jewish relatives. And they were proclaiming the Messiah to them. So they had people that were already prepared for some of the things that Paul and Barnabas were going to teach. And in fact, Jesus is a great Jewish rabbi, a great Jewish teacher, and many of the things that he commanded simply were to do what the Old Testament said. Maybe new ways of thinking about it, but you just do these things to love God, and And so they had some pretty natural leaders that were already there. But it says that Paul and Barnabas, they didn't just look around and say, oh, we'll choose you. It says that Paul and Barnabas fasted and prayed and appointed elders. In other words, they sat down with the church and they began to fast and pray about who would be the leaders of the church. And they would wait and God would give them some guidance. And then they would commend these. They were simply following the same method that they had used in Antioch. When God spoke to Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Menean and Saul and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. They were using the same methods when Barnabas and Saul were praying with the church to find leaders for the church. And so they returned and they strengthened these churches, and eventually they made it back to where they started. They made it back to Antioch. They made it back to Antioch where they had been commended for this particular work. And I think that there are times where we need to go back to where we've come from. Where we need to remember where it is that we have our roots, and where we remember who it is that has stood behind us and encouraged us and supported us to do the ministry that Jesus Christ has for us. And I think too often we fail to do that in a great way. And because we fail to do that, we miss the opportunities to grow our faith and the faith of others. And it said that Paul and Barnabas, they went back to Antioch and they gathered the church together. They gathered those people that they knew, those people who had supported them and encouraged them and sent them on their way. And they gathered them together. And when they gathered them together, Luke then says that they reported everything. They began to tell them everything that had happened. And they probably went from city to city and said, this is what God did in this town, and this is what God did here and there, and this is what God did in Iconium and Pamphylia, and this is what God did in Derbe. And they began to just explain to them and tell them everything that they had been doing, basically giving an account for their time and their energy to say, look, we have been faithful. We have been faithful in carrying out the work of the ministry of the kingdom of God. And they began to tell them everything that they had done. And then they began to also say, this is what God was doing. This is what Yahweh was doing in our midst. And this is what God was doing through us. Notice that it isn't that Paul and Barnabas are taking the credit and the glory. They're simply saying, this is what God has done through us. God did this and this and this. And oh, by the way, God opened up a door for the opportunity for the Gentiles to come into faith. And they began to explain how God had used them and how God had brought them from city to city, and they would preach to the Jews and some of the Jews would believe, and then they would have to stop preaching to the Jews and turn their attention to the Gentiles. And they began to explain how God was doing that in their midst and how God was working through them. How many times do we share with those around us what God is doing in us and through us? How often do we miss the opportunities to share the work of God because we simply don't share? You know, I wish I had the opportunities. There are three places that I wish I could go back. I wish that I could go back to the Baptist Church in Benkelman, Nebraska. I don't think Josephine is there anymore to hear what I would have to say, but I wish I could go back and share with that church what God has done because Josephine spoke and eventually I listened to tell them what God has done and how they've encouraged me and strengthened me, even though many of them may not even know me. I wish I could go back to the McCook Christian Church. McCook Christian Church, where the group of elders said, you know what, we'll stand behind you. We believe enough in your in your theology, and we believe enough in your ability to do what God seems to be asking you to do. And so they ordained me fresh out of college. I'm not sure the ink had much dried on my diploma that we set on the table for the party afterwards. But they said, yeah, we'll stand behind you and we'll encourage you and we'll strengthen you. And that church ordained me for ministry. And I would like to be able to go back and just say, this is what God's done. I wish I could have the opportunity to go back to Highmore Church of Christ in Highmore, South Dakota, where they took a chance and gave a new college graduate a place to mess up and do a lot of things wrong, but also to learn some things and to preach the gospel along the way. I wish I could go back and encourage him and say, look, I thank you for what God has done. And I know that some of those who were there when I was preaching there 20, 25 years ago aren't there anymore. But there are some I know that are. And I just, that would be a great opportunity for me to go back and say, just look at what God has done. And then there's the one place that I have had the opportunity to go back and say thank you, because I've had the opportunity several times to go back to Litchfield Christian Church in Litchfield, Nebraska, where I'm pretty sure that, probably some of those great ladies that would hand me back over the pew to where I belonged after I crawled underneath of the pews to entertain myself probably said, you make a great preacher. They probably didn't know if I was listening or not, and probably they were only saying it because they were saying, you've only got two choices. You can either distract everybody in the church by your fidgeting and moving around, or you can be the preacher where you can do some of those things. But I've had the opportunity to go back there on several occasions and to share with them and just say, in my own way, say thank you for what you did to encourage me. And this is what God is doing through what I have to offer. You see, while our situation, while the situation that I'm in may not fit exactly into the picture of Barnabas and Saul, and the church in Antioch, I'm pretty sure that if I look at my life, I can say that there are portions of that that fit pretty well into that portrait. You see, I had those people who were listening to the Word of God, who were willing to say to me, Rocky, this is what I sense God is asking you to do. Will you be faithful? And we can look around us this morning and we can see people and we can say, where has God gifted you? And how can I encourage you to do what God is gifting you and calling you to do? And it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are, we can encourage one another and we can be encouraged by each other. You see, I'm not sure that any one person could say, you know, God spoke to me and these are the words that He said. But there are a lot of people who have encouraged me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to use the gifts that He has put within me. And we're all called to make disciples. That's what Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19 say. It says that, go and make disciples of all the nations. And that is the call upon your life and my life. Now, there may be times when that call is different, but God is calling each of us to go and make disciples. And when Paul and Barnabas had made disciples, they went back to where they'd come. And it says that they did the next thing that Jesus said. It says, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so we can strengthen brothers and sisters in Christ in their faith and their knowledge of the Word. And we can like Paul and Barnabas, we can go back to where we've come from and show people what God is doing, which is the third thing that Paul and Barnabas did. They went back to Antioch, and they began to tell them about the things that God had done. And I can tell you that's going to do one thing in particular for the church at Antioch. It's going to strengthen their faith. Ah, look at God's faithfulness. For Paul and Barnabas, it was going to encourage them to go and to continue the ministry. Even though we look later down in Acts and they split ways, I think maybe that was the hand of God growing this ministry team and giving it an opportunity to take new people and to teach new people and to train the next generation, one leader at a time. But they went back to Antioch and they began to encourage the church with what God had done through them and how God had used these two faithful men to carry out the ministry that the church in Antioch believed was important. And I think from time to time we just need to sit down with those who have encouraged us and say, this is what your encouragement, this is what your prayers, this is what your faithful support has done for me. And we're all called to serve. And so this morning the question would be, is how are you doing? Where are you being used? How can others encourage you to use your faith? And how can you encourage others by telling them what God has done in your life? That's the call for us as followers of Jesus Christ, but there's also the invitation to those who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, Paul and Barnabas were going and making disciples. We've been called to make disciples, and I know some of you heard the gospel message before, and this is just an encouragement to say, come and join the fellowship of believers. Come, let us encourage you and strengthen you. Come, God is calling you today. And if you need to make a commitment or a decision for Jesus Christ, you can come as we sing this next hymn. I'd love to visit with you about what that means. If you're watching online later, you can give me a call. I'd love to visit with you about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Because that is the ultimate call that he's making to all of us, is to be a disciple. Let's stand together as we sing.